and hopefully we can be back to that very soon. Is someone poised to do the reading? Can someone?
Yeah, I can do that, Peter.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Okay, so we've got Matthew 16, 13 through to 23, yeah?
Perfect, thank you.
Okay, go. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said. "This shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." The word of the Lord.
Thank you. Okay. So here I think we have a really, a really interesting two sides of a coin here of Peter. And I don't know if you can relate to this, but here we have two stories where Peter says something incredibly profound and godly and wisdom and insight. And then 6 verses later, we have him say something incredibly stupid and brashful and completely ungodly. And he flips from seeing things as God sees them to just seeing things through his own lens. And I don't know if you can relate to this, but I certainly can. We sometimes say things that we just know to be God. And at the same time, I can say some really ridiculous earthly nonsense from out of nowhere. And I'm reluctant to call these times that we're living in uncertain or exceptional. I think there's a more tangible sense of uncertainty and confusion perhaps, but I think that it's always been there. Life has always been complex, and I think perhaps in the West we can have it a little bit glazed over, and we're not quite as in tune as some of the realities of the world. And I think what this has done is this situation that we're all in, worldwide pandemic, etc., news cycles, things like that, has brought to the fore some of the truths about the world, which is that there is confusion, that there is inequality, injustice, that actually things are uncertain. You know, you go back a year and perhaps we could all be meeting together, but that doesn't necessarily mean that life is any more certain. And so in these times, but in all of the times, I think one of our duties as people who follow Jesus, as people who have the mandate of bringing heaven to earth, is to have clarity and wisdom and to see things as God sees them and not as man sees them, and to cut through some of the confusion in life with this access that we have to the creator of the world. And this is what happens with Peter. In the first half of this passage, there's a sense of being around Jesus, and for us it would be being filled with the Holy Spirit, that we begin to see things as God sees them. And it's not always sort of like a lightning bolt of inspiration where you sort of shake and your eyes light up and you jump out of the bath and run down the streets shouting Eureka. It's sometimes just an answer to a question that we give. And here Jesus moves from saying, well, who do people say I am? To who do you say I am? And then Peter provides this answer here. And Jesus says, blessed are you, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And that's one side of the coin. Sometimes I'm speaking with people, or you meet someone in the street and you say something, and afterwards you reflect and you think, no, hang on, that was God speaking through me. That was very clearly not me. You know, that was more gracious than I am naturally. That was more insightful than I am naturally. That was God's word in that moment for that person. But the other side of the coin is this little second interaction that we hear about, where Jesus is explaining the plan. He's explaining the way God sees things. And we see this throughout the whole of the gospel, is God saying, this is my son and he's come to do this. And Jesus says, this is who I am. I've come to do this. And we've got people not happy because it doesn't match up to their idea of salvation. So if Jesus comes to, I've come to serve and I've come to die. And a lot of people weren't happy about that. Well, hang on, I think you've come to defeat the Romans, actually, if you'd like to check with God again. We had a plan. And so often we have these two sides to us, where walking with Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, we have this access to wisdom and clarity and insight of heaven. But at the same time, we are human. And we're working things out. And Peter goes from saying something incredibly profound and clear, and he cuts through. He cuts through what other people are saying. He cuts through even what he might be feeling, and he gets to the heart of the matter. And isn't that what we desire to do with people we meet who are hurting, with our friends, with our family, with our church group, with our community, with our wider community, with our country, with the world, is to have heavenly insight, is to have clarity, is to have wisdom. But if we're not careful, we can get riled up, and this other side of the coin, this human element, this sort of Pete and his pride and his arrogance and his macho posturing, his need to be self-sufficient, can easily brush through, and all of a sudden Jesus is explaining to us a plan to save the world, and we're like, no, hang on, never. And so we go from, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven, to get behind me, Satan, you are a hindrance to me. And I think what it is to be human, what it is to be a follower of Christ, what it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, is to balance these two things. is that we have both possibilities within us. Heaven and earth, insight and wisdom, and brash foolishness and folly. And for me, what I never want it to be is to have these two sides come out without me understanding which one is which. I never want it to be a flip of the coin. What do I get? Do I get heavenly wisdom, or do I get my earthly point of view? And I think it's dangerous if we're not intentional about finding these things in ourselves. Heavenly wisdom can be quickly followed by earthly arrogance and self-reliance. And I think it's naive of us to think that it's not incredibly easy to flip-flop between the two. Walking closely with Jesus, being filled with the Spirit, means we get access to this heavenly insight that the world so desperately needs, right? This is where we need to be operating. With all the confusion and the hurt that goes on, we need to be people who are in tune with heaven, in tune with the way God sees things, in tune with his plans and purposes for our lives, for the lives of others, for the country and for the world. And we have access to that. But that doesn't mean that everything we say is necessarily going to come from that place. And for me, trying to move as much as I can into that realm, into the realm of blessed are you, and keep away from you are a hindrance to me, has become really apparent to me in these times when people seem to be desperate for clarity. People seem to be desperate for grace, for understanding, for something to hold on to. And as people who have access to that, to something real, to something true, to something hopeful, to something life-giving, it's our responsibility to steward that well and to make sure that in our conversations, in our relationships, in our work, that as best we can, people get Jesus and not me. And that's not to say that I don't have things to bring to the table. Like I really don't think, you know, we need to be completely self-deprecating in that way. But it's to say that answering the question, who do you say I am, with that heavenly insight, guys, oh, what the world needs, right? See, this is the contrast, I guess, of the Christian life. Is on one side we have the first part of this story where we see things from God's perspective. And Jesus goes on to, and I tell you, you are Peter, on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Just because Peter's had that experience, and just because we get it right once, doesn't mean we will forever get it right. Peter then goes on, as we heard, to sort of rebuke Jesus when he's telling his plan. The very next story is the transfiguration, where Jesus sort of reveals his true glory to them, and and they want to stop and they want to build a tent and they want to just stay there. And Jesus again has to say, no, you've missed the point again a little bit. We've got stuff to do. We keep on moving. Jesus is forever trying to steer them to say, no, don't look at it like this. Look at it like this. Don't look at it like this. Look at it like this. And I think we have to be both sides of that relationship. We have to be disciples who are constantly walking with Jesus and allowing him to teach us how things are, what things should look like. Give us heaven's perspective. Asking for wisdom. Solomon asked for wisdom or a listening ear to be in tune with what God is saying, what he's doing on a daily basis. And then I believe the mandate is actually that we are then to be Jesus to the world. That as we are disciples, as we follow, we're called to lead, right? And so as we're following Jesus and as he's showing us the things of God and the things of the kingdom, our responsibility is then to fulfill that role to the world. And it's our responsibility then to point out the things of God, to explain the ways of heaven, to speak up for those who have no voice. And so we have this, like, as so many things in the Bible have these two sides. On one hand, we have the heaven and the insight that is within us by walking with Jesus, by being filled with the Holy Spirit. And on the other side, we have this human nature, this tendency to be brash, to be self-reliant. And then in the journey of that, we have the Jesus, the pointing out, the learning, and as we are the disciple, we follow. And Jesus points out the things of the kingdom. He explains how the kingdom works. He says, look at it this way, look at it that way. This is what's truly going on here. And as we walk in that, as we begin to understand more of how God works and what he's doing in situations and where he's moving, and we become more attuned to that, then we, as we follow, are called to lead. And we're called to bring clarity to situations. We're called to bring truth and light. We're called to bring concrete hope and faith that the world is desperately in need of. And so all the time, this who do you say I am is never for us. We benefit greatly from what God has done for us, from what he has to say for us, what he has to show us. But all the time it's no, teach me so that I can then serve. Follow me is the call at the start for the disciples, and then go and make disciples is the end of the story. And so this sort of leading as we follow has been such a challenge to me in this time when you have some very hard conversations with people. I think people are much more open to hearing about things. People are looking for answers, looking for something true, concrete, something of hope. And this story really has stood out to me in the last couple of weeks as two sides of a coin. And I don't want my answers, my words, to be a flip of the coin. Are they going to get something of heaven, or are they going to get something of me? I want every day my prayer to be, Jesus, speak through me today. Let me see things from your perspective. And I came across this little prayer from Saint Benedict. I know we're Baptists and, you know, not into saints, but it's rather nice. So I'll finish with this. It says, Almighty God, give us wisdom to perceive you, wisdom to understand you, diligence to seek you, patience to wait for you, eyes to behold you, a heart to meditate upon you, and a life to proclaim you, through the power of the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Can you do it one more time, please, if you don't mind?
Yeah, of course. Almighty God, give us wisdom to perceive you, wisdom to understand you, diligence to seek you, patience to wait for you, eyes to behold you, a heart to meditate upon you, and a life to proclaim you, through the power of the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ.